Lots of cities talk about wanting to develop their economies and create jobs. Some are talking about becoming maker cities, places that encourage people to create products that the rest of the world will buy. A bunch of maker cities, or at least would-be maker cities, sent representatives to a recent gathering in Brooklyn in New York City. Among the names you instantly recognize, the big cities of America, was one small city, Talent, Oregon, in the Rogue Valley. Let's explore the Maker Cities concept and the steps ahead. Allison French is an artist and a member of the Talent Planning Commission. Allison, thanks for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
And Ryan Wilcoxon is with us as well. He's a woodworker from Nice Chop Design Shop. Ryan, thank you for the acronym, the rhyme, and for joining us on the Exchange.
Thanks for having us.
So let's start with the basic stuff, maker spaces and maker cities. The maker term is being used somewhat differently from what it used to be, but generally to mean the same thing. What is it about, Allison?
Well, there's a huge movement right now. It's called a maker movement, actually. And maker spaces are basically collaborative workspaces with an open mindset where it feels safe to come work. It might have a wood shop. It might have a metal shop, jewelry making, courses and classes that are taught by instructors. In a safe and open environment. And it's kind of exciting to be able to collaborate with people while you're making something.
It was sort of like a community garage or something.
Exactly. That's a perfect way to picture it.
And do they sometimes grow from garages? I mean,
in talking with people at the summit, some of the most successful ones did come out of garage spaces. And so that is a perfect analogy. Yeah.
Are there maker spaces in the Rogue Valley right now?
There are a couple things that mimic what a makerspace would be. I know that there's an active group in Medford that is more like a hack lab, and they're really technology-based, and I think they're expanding to doing some other things. ScienceWorks this fall is actually having a mini maker fair. So the movement's definitely happening all around us.
And ScienceWorks has had their Tinker Fest for a while, too.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Same sort of thing. Ryan Wilcoxon, tell us about you and what you do.
Oh, well, I'm a full-time media designer. I do graphic design and animation, stuff like that. But my way of unplugging from the computer is going into the garage and making stuff with wood, which is my natural kind of entry point into the maker movement.
And so how long have you been working with wood in the garage?
Well, started when I was a kid making skate ramps like a lot of other kids, camera rigs when I was in film school. Recently, I've moved into making wooden jewelry like rings, boxes to carry beer, which is a very necessary tool for the consumption of beer, and turning bowls, things like that. Anything that I can, anything that makes sawdust, I'll do, I'll try. And whatever.
Tables. Anything to make sawdust. That's a good way to put
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you ever worked in a makerspace? I'm just curious to know about
that. I came up here from San Francisco about 7 years ago, and I've makerspaces have been kind of mainstays in bigger metropolitan areas. So I do have experience in a makerspace. Haven't run one, haven't done anything like that, but I've gone there, checked it out, used the tools. A lot of which are inaccessible to the garage tinkerer, CNC routers, laser cutters, stuff like that. So it's a good opportunity to try new things.
Higher-end stuff.
It's higher-end like stuff that is a lot of times just financially unavailable to the garage tinkerer.
Okay, but several people can pool their garages and get a makerspace.
That's right. That's the basic grassroots idea of a makerspace is a collaborative sharing of ideas, sharing of tools, sharing of whatever experience.
So let's pull this up to the level of maker city. Then how do you get from maker space to maker city? Is a maker city just a place with a lot of maker spaces, or is it a little more complicated than that, Allison?
I don't know if it's complicated. Actually, when we went to the summit, one of the things that we learned is it doesn't need to be complicated. We probably already have a lot of the tools that make us a maker city in place, and it starts with resource mapping, I guess, is probably the best term that I can think of. It connects people in our community. Like, we already have a lot of small manufacturers in Talent. And so if they maybe have a CNC machine that's going unused part of their week, maybe they'd be willing to connect with local makers who might want to utilize some of those tools. So it might start small and more spread out until we actually get a physical space.
All right, so makerspaces and maker cities are clearly an extension of the sharing economy, the idea that not everybody has to own a lawnmower, not everybody has to own a laser cutter.
That's right. Yeah, makerspaces, in fact, it's one component of a maker city. A maker city's got maker space as a component, but more importantly, the community who needs it and wants it, and the collaboration of the community in that maker space, whether it's physically making things or sharing ideas or getting guidance from mentors, people who have done this, people who have run small businesses or small manufacturing, that type of thing. So it's a top-down kids to seasoned vets space where everybody can get together and share ideas.
Maker spaces and maker cities, the discussion topic here on the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking to Ryan Wilcoxon, a woodworker from Nice Chop Design Shop. Allison French is on the Talent Planning Commission. They both went to Brooklyn recently for the Etsy Maker Cities Summit. We'll hear more about that in just a second. You can join us on the Exchange. Maybe you have some questions about this whole process, about how maker spaces are developed and how maker cities encourage them. And maybe you've got some ideas of your own because you're a kind of person who works with your hands. 800-838-3760 to join the conversation by phone. By email, it's jx@jeffnet.org. So for the folks who might not have heard of Etsy before, this is the Etsy Maker Cities Summit. What is it?
Etsy is a online forum where you can sell things that you make. And it's really designed, it's got a community base to it. And it's designed for anyone who wants to sell something and make money. And Etsy is prides itself on being a socially responsible company. And creating sustainable networks and practices.
It's almost like an online craft fair in a sense.
Think of it as Amazon for individual mm-hmm. sellers, mm-hmm. people who are making their own goods, although that's been expanded a little bit recently. But it's basically a global distribution network for small makers anywhere in the world. Talent, Philadelphia. Disparate places that all share that common maker population.
So it certainly makes sense that Etsy would want to gather people from maker cities in one place because this is the stuff that's going to end up stocking up its website. So when I look at the list of cities, though, it's kind of interesting, Memphis and Chicago and the likes of that.
But then, Los Angeles. Yeah, we were definitely the little guy.
No doubt. I mean, town's population is 7,000?
6,600.
Okay, so 7, 000, not quite 7,000.
Yes.
What I noticed Kennesaw, Georgia was there, so at least there was one city under 50,000.
They're 50, still 000. There. I think there's 60,000.
Yeah, they are. They're big. Mm-hmm. We like to think that maybe it was our name that got us there.
Well, and the stellar application that we submitted.
Honestly, I think it was the team that we put together, and it started. It's such a sweet talent story, if we can tell that.
Absolutely, sure.
Karen Rychek, who's a local mosaic artist who's done a lot of public art in Talent, had been selling things on Etsy, and she got a notification about this Etsy Maker City Summit that was going on. And so she sent me a message and said, "Hey, Allison, do you want to go to New York?" And I was like, "Heck yeah, I want to go to New York. That sounds like a blast." So we got together to talk about it because she knew that I had been very excited about makerspaces, and my education component ties me into that in a whole bunch of excitement.
You are a teacher. Usually.
I am a teacher, yeah, for the last 20 years in the Rogue Valley. So so we got together and went for a walk. And as we're walking through Talent, Mayor Darby Stricker is riding by on her bicycle. So we say, "Hey, Darby, do you want to go to New York?" And she comes over. So we told her a little bit about it. And she said, "Yes, I want to go to New York." And then we just continued our walk around the block. And we come by Ryan working in his garage in his wood shop and asked him if he wanted to go to New York and got together and put the application together. So I really do think it had a lot to do with our supportive local government to have the mayor on board. Extremely important, I think, in Etsy's eyes to have us come and have a mayoral presence.
It certainly helped that Talent has a walkable community, too,
exactly.
From the sounds of it.
It really does. And that's a major component of turning Talent into a maker city is giving our downtown, which is just perfectly located, but we don't really have a beating heart a place where people can congregate, a place where people will come downtown, a destination, and get something to keep people downtown, as opposed to coming to get the great coffee, the good pizza, the harvest. We have attractions, but a reason we need a reason for everybody to stay downtown and to make a thriving city center. And we think of makerspaces a good way to do that.
Have you envisioned where the makerspace might go, how big it might be, how it would be stocked, that sort of
stuff?
Yeah,
we have a few ideas right now that are obviously involve government. Right now, the government is kind of rejiggering and zoning laws to accommodate small manufacturing, light manufacturing, mixed-use spaces, increased retail, things like that. So, yeah, there's a few ideas being tossed around.
Currently, I'm sitting on, as a liaison for the Planning Commission, I'm sitting on the Economic Opportunities Commission. There's a group of citizens from talent and local business owners, and we're looking at revising the economic element of the comprehensive plan for talent. And part of that really is looking at land use laws within the city and how we might make those more friendly for small businesses to start up and accommodate something like this, or at least increasing our local retail economy.
Is it the kind of thing that where you look at the comprehensive plan and the zoning codes and you realize, oh, wait, we don't quite have room in here for a makerspace now? Or is it a little more permissive than that?
No, I think there's room for it now. But this is actually creating policies that would make it an objective or a clear implementation progress.
So a little more of a push than just leaving the space open.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple of spots in talent that would be ripe for that. So
we're talking about maker spaces and maker cities with Allison French from the Talent Planning Commission and Ryan Wilcoxon, who works in talent at the Nice Chop Design Shop. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange with questions and comments, 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Here is Helga in talent. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Hi, I moved to Talent from Ashland, and I am a lifelong maker, starting with a craft store in the late 60s. I have taught doll camp in order to encourage kids to learn skills that have not been passed along adequately. So I'm really excited about having a maker space, shared big space in Talent, and I hope that we can find a way of including younger ages, too.
Okay. Yeah.
Thanks for that, Helga.
Thanks, Helga. That is a key component, is the kids, is getting, attracting kids early. And Allison might be able to speak to this more.
That's probably partly where my extreme enthusiasm comes from with this, being an educator. And Helga, I love that you've been involved with that and teaching kids, because that really is what makes it sustainable. You really do need to start with kids, and it's happening all over the valley. We've got schools, Phoenix Talent School District, Ashland School District, Medford School District. They all are starting little mini maker spaces on campuses, on their school campuses, that have expanded to robotics clubs, making robots and doing all kinds of things. And those schools that are doing that, Ashland's got an extensive welding and wood shop. It's like a starter for a makerspace, and then to continue that within the community is only going to benefit the community as a whole.
Is this, in some cases, turning lights on in rooms that have been dark for a couple of years? I know that some schools have had to cut their industrial arts programs, and their shop material just got shoved off to a side and stuck in the dark for a while. Has this helped revitalize some of those programs, converting what was shop class for our generation into makerspace for this generation?
Yes. In fact, a lot of research has been done about this, and we sort of went really digital and electrical for a while, and everybody's got to have internet access to everything, and so we're going to like bits, and now we're going to bolts. The manufacturing is making a rise, and we do need to get back to teaching the skills and being able to make things for our community to keep it sustainable.
From bits to bolts, that's an interesting concept, yeah. So what sorts of things did you hear in New York? Was there anything in particular that lit a fire under you, Ryan?
Yeah, well, we went there looking for some insight on how to start and run a makerspace, but we got way more than that. We were kind of introduced to Etsy's idea of what a maker city is, and which is the idea that local governments can help their communities from sellers to manufacturers to retails to start and grow their own businesses. And that's pairing municipalities with that value manufacturing, sustainable growth, stuff like that, with creative entrepreneur or creative people who maybe need that push to the next step of business ownership or taking their crafts to the next level, which would be retail, either online or locally. So it's a way bigger picture than I think all of us anticipated. We want to play with tools. We want to have a space where everybody can come out and, you know, print a 3D model of their head, you know, because that's awesome. Who doesn't want to do that? But what we came away with is that there's opportunity for city government to kind of kind of foster this growth by changing policy, making to accommodate this kind of activity, this kind of space, and for the community to you know, become more prosperous.
That's key too. I think meaningful community connection is really the core of it, and Talent already has that. But it'd be nice to harness that into
the whole valley has artists. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're just rife with artists, and so harnessing all that creativity and you know, giving them a pathway to business ownership, which in turn will give them more influence in how city government shape their policy to be more accommodating space. Communicating, lost train of thought, okay. But you know where I'm going.
So you mentioned as a joke, I know the printing a 3D model of your head, but
sure.
Since you brought it up, it does seem like when you look at makerspaces online, the 3D printer often seems to be a central feature of that. Is that something that was hammered home at the Maker City Summit? Or
no, there was
not
no
in
real
particular
tech. Yeah, it was kind of tech agnostic. It was this is a big picture thing we're thinking of. We want to kind of personalize commerce in a global economy, one that, you know, we were ordering from Amazon, we're selling online, this and that, eBay, blah, blah, blah. We wanted consumers to connect with their local makers and vice versa.
So when you look at how things are being handled from the city level, and of course here you're rubbing shoulders with Los Angeles and Memphis and much bigger towns, so things on a different scale. But were you able to connect, for example, with other planning commissioners?
Other planning commissioners, community development directors, there were economic investors that were also there. And what was really reassuring is that Talent has already started some of these things that other cities are just beginning, and that was really reassuring. We've got a very progressive thinking community development department in Talent.
Makerspaces and Makercities, we'll take a couple more minutes and talk about that here on the Jefferson Exchange with Allison French and Ryan Wilcoxon. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange. Maybe you've worked in something like a makerspace yourself, but just didn't use that name because it was a couple of years ago. Hmm. We'd like to hear your story. Join us at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. And through that email pipeline, Boyd sent in this message from Wolf Creek. He says, how about a makerspace for bike maintenance, including accessories like textile products to increase their utility?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're not, you know, we need to hear from the community, the artists and the makers, the craftspeople, the people who know somebody who does this stuff. We need to hear from them, and they can reach us at talentmakercity@gmail.com and on Facebook at facebook.com/talentmakercity. We need to hear from people to know what they want, what we all want, what we can all do, how we can all benefit. And it's not just tools. It's you know, curriculum, for lack of a better word, that can be
education,
offered.
Education,
yeah.
And courses and classes, like, that is a key component, is being able to take a class on something. I went to a talk that Rogue Climate put on in Talent about making rain catchment systems, rain barrels. And they did a little demo, and a makerspace would be a perfect place to just let everybody do it right after the conversation. And so the education component and then actually making the thing you're learning about is so exciting, and how fun.
Almost like a mini community college in that sense.
Absolutely.
It is. It is. Without without the parking permits.
So specifically to Talent, I mean, are there things that are before the Planning Commission now? Are there things that you can foresee coming up in the near future to try to open the pathway toward a makerspace? And who takes ownership? Does the city start this? Does it have to come from a couple of private people?
It's going to have to come from a collaborative group, for sure. But the Planning Commission's already moving on this with the new economic element to the comp plan. That's going to be presented hopefully in June. That's our timeline to the Planning Commission. and with some ideas around how to make this is one small component of all the other things. It's like making businesses more productive and sustainable in town as well.
And we are in the process of kind of forming a steering committee of disparate people with different talents and experiences to kind of guide from all different angles, whether it's the business end or the grassroots end or the outreach end. So anybody who has any interest or feels like they can contribute one way or the other to bring a maker space and a maker city to the Rogue Valley should reach out to us at talentmakercity@gmail.
Okay, I'll make sure that we link to those on from our website. We've got time for a call here from Seth in Central Point. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Hi, thanks for having me again. As soon as I hear makerspace, I get very excited because I've been helping out with ScienceWorks. They're trying to get a mini maker fair going on this November. And it's been exciting reaching out to a couple different schools with their ideas because there's RCC, for example, has the mechatronics lab and other things that they've been getting going with the students that are trying to, try to push new industries in the Rogue Valley. But my question for your panel was, how can you generate interest like that in, say, elementary schools or maybe they're, again, not so familiar with makerspaces, but they just want to kind of get involvement from future generations of makers?
Let's turn to the educator in the room for that. Allison?
Thanks, Seth. That's an awesome question because it really does have to start at the elementary level. And a lot of the schools are already doing this. They start off with like Lego labs and then they add circuits and breakers to those Legos and they become moving parts.
Which is exactly what the robotics kids at St. Mary's told us 2 weeks ago.
Yes, yeah. And so they've got a great program over there that's starting, it starts elementary, moves to middle school. And then at the high school level, they've also got the robotics clubs going. But then you've also got all the kids that enjoy working in those actual spaces with wood shop. And
before we go, is there one city that impressed you as having a real handle on? I mean, they're far advanced of anybody else in
North North Little Rock, Arkansas.
Okay. Really,
absolutely.
They've had a booming space for I think 8 years, and that was largely due to a very enthusiastic, very energetic maker and a cooperative city government.
Okay, good to have you both here. Ryan Wilcoxon is a woodworker from Nice Chop Design Shop. Allison French is on the Talent Planning Commission. We've been talking about maker cities and talent's efforts to move to become more of a maker city than it is now. Thanks so much for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you
for having us.
All right.